Sportsnet 590 fan. You're listening to Ailish Forfar, Blake Murphy, and JD Bunkus. Bunkus. Bunks Bites. Not at Tim Hortons yet. We're working on it.
I believe Tim Bunks was the better one.
Yeah, I like
you
got,
your fans are the bunk mates.
The bunk mates. I like that.
I'm way better at marketing you than me.
I do like bunk mates.
We have Dangle's Army joining us next. And this insider is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Steve Dangle, how are you this morning?
I was better before I heard bunk mates.
Yeah, bunk mates.
Buddy, I'm not into that, man.
What do you mean you're not into that? You're the team captain of the bunk mates. What are you talking about? You're in the bed. Oh yeah, you just got to pick which one you want to sleep in.
Are you top or bottom bunk?
Like, which one?
Oh, always bottom bunk.
Always bottom bunk. Well, yeah, you've seen Black Sheep.
What is that?
My Nona's house when I was a kid had bunk beds, and I was screwing around and I fell off the top one, and I still remember it.
Well, that's scary.
I remember parts of it anyway. it was pretty high up.
Did she not have the guardrail? Was this like a real Nona's house where you're like, Nana, where's the guardrail? And she's like, Toughen up, kiddo.
You
be big boy. You no guardrail. I don't know why she's
that. What nationality is she?
Well, my grandmother is that, so I just did that to him.
Yeah, I was going to say, what nationality is the last name Dangle? What's the etymology there?
Hockey.
The way you get christened into the family as a baby is you crack your head off the sharp marble table that she has in the dining room, and then the way you become an adult is when you smash your head off the chandelier that she has dangling from her way too low ceiling in the basement. Because we can't eat in the kitchen on the main floor because that one's too nice. We have to eat in the one in the basement.
It explains a lot about your brain when you tell us that you've had multiple traumas to the skull.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It does.
Speaking of your brain, how are we feeling right now? The confidence level through this panel up on the radio here is high, but tentative.
Shockingly
a bit to be bought in this much. You are the key heartbeat of Leafs Nation. So how are you feeling right now?
Like whenever anyone says, "What do you think about the Leafs?" I have to start with,
yes,
because they're obviously good. Like, that's the thing. They're obviously good. They were obviously good last year, too. A lot of people are criticizing Leaf fans for, how could you not be in on this team? They're number one in the entire league. How could I not have my guard up about a team that's let me down every year of my actual life? Like, listen, they're playing differently. They look good. They're scoring playoff-style goals, which is what Sheldon Keefe wanted. And all I want him to do is keep it up.
And when you say they're playing differently, a lot of that, I think, has been on consistent goaltending and the Stars being elite. What do you think is the biggest change between how they're playing now and how they're playing in the playoffs?
Generally speaking, I think they give their goalies an easier time. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, you look at Joseph Woll's shutout that he had against the Islanders. Well, the Islanders are pretty inept offensively, but the Leafs made it a good time for the rookie. And generally speaking, I think they've made Jack Campbell's life a little easier after requiring him to make about 10, 12 Dominic Hasek saves every game during the first a dozen games. But offensively, it's a hunger for the net. There's always someone in front. Matthews is always parked in front. There was a goal the other night, I think it was against San Jose, that I loved, because even if it didn't go in the way it did, it was going to go in some other way. They worked the puck to the point on one side, hunting right in front, there's Matthews, and on the other side there was Marner. So they're playing in a way that they're trying to generate chaos in front. They're trying to generate rebounds. And that's how you score in the playoffs, which is what Sheldon Keefe was trying to tell them the whole time.
It's really weird. And I'm going to plug one of my things that's coming up today. I have an Instagram video about Jack Campbell and how it's the most underrated story in Toronto. And I really do feel that way because we have spent a lot of this focus looking at the team and the different areas in which they've improved. And I can't tell if it's just because they are a good hockey team with a completely shattered fan base, but that is so used to bouncing back that Leaf fans have bounced back the way that they have. But it is strange to me that people are buying back into this stuff. And I'm watching these games, Dangle, and I feel the same way. I watch it and I go, no, it isn't just Jack. Yeah, I think it's an underrated story of the season that he has been this good just because goalies are really tough to evaluate. And unless they're making, you know, these incredible show-stopping saves, we don't really think about what a high-danger chance is, right? Like, right. That's why we need those statistics sometimes. But, yeah, there is a different maturity level to the way that they've played. I can't help but feel that way. And I never would have thought that I would be here a year ago. I really, you know, this last offseason took something out of me that I thought I was never going to get back. And yet, and maybe it'll feel different once I get to the playoffs. I'll start to have the self-loathing. They'll drop one game and I'll be right back there in this dark place. But I got to admit, man, I really think maybe they're not going to win a Stanley Cup this year because that's outrageous to be projecting those things. But if they don't win a playoff series this year, I'll be even more shocked than I was last year. Like, that's how confident I am.
Oh, me too. But that's no way to mentally get through the season. You know what I mean? Like, listen to the conversation that we're having and listen to the conversation we've had basically since the season began. This team, as mad as I was at them, I was ready to throw every piece of Leafs memorabilia I have out. But I don't have
so
a
much money on it though too, and now this guy has to do Montreal Canadiens watch parties.
Oh,
just sitting there going,
God.
Like
poor guy.
I really was the meme of the guy with the happy mask and crying underneath.
Oh my God.
So yeah.
That was me for two rounds. Because remember, I did the Vegas series and then the final, dude, which they were in.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
I thought about filing a complaint for you, like to HR. Where I'm like, hey, you know, this is pretty cruel. And I would every once in a while, you're pretty good at not letting the hate in, at least publicly. Whenever it does happen, I think that some people could really take a note from you of, hey, this guy doesn't really respond to a lot of the haters on Twitter or whatever. But every once in a while, I'd see the one person going, really, Steve, like you betray the Leafs this way and you're doing abs games. And you'd have those little moments where you would reply to somebody and I would go, this isn't right. You know, this guy's good. He's got a real patient. He's got a lot of patience. He's got a real threshold for pain and abuse. But this is getting too much. This is just too much.
I use Twitter the way I use candy, where I resist. And then I'm like, but what about just this one? And then the bag's gone. And that's what I did on a few of those. But the point I was trying to make is, so tonight they play the Avalanche. Mm. And if they play an amazing game and destroy this team that is supposed to be one of the best in the league, or if they fold like an old jacket and lose 7-1, they can't win or lose the Stanley Cup on December 1st. And that's what I've been trying to tell myself basically the entire time they've won 14 out of 16. They can't win the Stanley Cup on December 1st. They can't win it in a hot November. So I'm just going to enjoy it for what it is. They're winning regular season games, so I'm going to enjoy that. And then that'll delay the heart attack in April.
So now you're the voice of reason, all my fan base? For April.
Sorry?
So now you've opted to become the voice of reason for the fan base?
Yeah, because sometimes I play the role of me, and sometimes I play the role of Faisal. You know, sometimes I got to be the blue and white therapy guy. Mm. This is also not a good way to go about it, most therapists will tell you, because what I'm telling you is I'm just repressing my feelings until the spring. And winter hasn't even officially begun. But it's my coping mechanism, and I'm sticking to it.
So just a quick plug. We're talking about Steve Dangle on YouTube. Well, he'll be joined by yours truly this Saturday to watch Leafs game live on YouTube. Did you know?
Ooh, yeah, I did, but you reminded me.
Yeah, me and you back in the saddle. So make sure you guys watch on the Sportsnet YouTube page.
I literally just said that I miss you as a digital host.
And boom.
And you didn't even bring it up.
Well, I wanted to save it for our interview,
okay.
Steve. But let's look towards tonight. We're going to see a familiar face back on the ice, Nazem Kadri. He has been absolutely electric this season. Does this make you feel any differently about the deal that the Leafs did and his departure and that whole situation that went down?
Okay, I'm about to say something ridiculous.
What else
is new?
You
know who's having an underrated season?
Who?
Kerfoot.
Yeah, he is.
I've seen a lot of people as Kadri's been having this ridiculously hot streak, and everyone's like, oh, and they traded him for Barry. Well, yeah, and Kerfoot. Like, we should mention the other guy. So, like, there's a guy on the roster contributing every night and regularly playing in the top six who was from that trade. So, all I'm saying is it's not on the Mount Rushmore of bad Leaf trades. And I love Nas. I love him very much. I'm sad every time that he's not a Leaf. But I'll say what I've said since the trade happened. I'll say what I said since before the trade happened. Nas traded Nas. Yeah. Nas traded Nas when he got suspended again. Uh-huh. And I was so disappointed last year in the playoffs when he got suspended a third time in 4 years. So in some ways he's the perfect Leaf. He's the encapsulation of the conversation we've just been having. Yes, he's having an amazing regular season. What's going to happen in the playoffs?
So we actually have been talking a lot about how Kerfoot's had this underrated season and that, hey, he should get a little bit more appreciation. The 5-on-5 points have been there, and he really does seem to be a guy that fits with Tavares. He's given them a little bit of center when they've needed him to do it. Like, he has been what we sort of expected him to be to a degree, but I still have it on the Mount Rushmore of bad trades. The only thing is, because, like, you got to look at it through, one, Tyson Barrie was, like, just the worst possible fit, and it really hurt the season when they were really trying to win in 2019. 2020, yeah. It just, like, no different. They didn't really get a lot out of Kerfoot. His first real moment as a Leaf was playoffs. Kadri's been amazing. And you know what's so weird? Poor Kerfoot. I thought about this last night, how this is kind of his year where he's having a breakout, and Jared McCann has 10 goals in 17 games. He's got as many points and six less with the Kraken. And so I think there's even this other parallel for Kerfoot that he's got to deal with McCann. But I'm glad you raised that with Kadri. And I think that we all, when looking back at that trade, have to remember that, you know what? It was urgent at the time. All of us. I don't remember a single person that didn't have the Naz should stay, they should run it back. Like, it was basically, hey, if they bring back Nazem Kadri and he does that again, then you got to fire, like, the front office. Like, it was dire.
Yeah.
It was fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, you know, all that George Bush stuff. It's in terms of, you know, last year, obviously they should have beat the Canadians. The bubble, they just didn't have it against the Blue Jackets. People forget how close that 2019 series. They had a chance to finish the Bruins at home. But who wasn't there? Who wasn't on the ice? Mm. Who was never on the ice? Who, after 2013, played less than half of the playoff games he was eligible for? You can't keep that player. Mm-hmm. You can't keep that player. And I'm who's surprised that he's doing well? We know he does well. It's stay in the lineup, bro. And he hasn't done it in Colorado either.
Stay in the lineup, bro. Speaking of someone that's not in the lineup for a little while, Brendan Lemieux, he chomped on a little bit of flesh and got the 5-game suspension. I gotta ask you, because you were tweeting about it last night, that video explanation that the league put out. I just got to get your take on this whole situation. And is that enough games? And just what are your thoughts on how it went down?
Well, I'm going to put on my producer hat. If I were you guys, I'd be playing that video and pausing it whenever they say something ridiculous and just goofing on it. That'd be an entire 20-minute segment.
Vic is taking notes.
Oh, please do. Please do. Because everyone who's listening right now who has only seen that Brendan Lemieux was suspended for 5 games, you need to watch the NHL's video explanation of the incident. It's performance art. It's so funny. First of all, this is biting. This is not a hockey play. That makes me laugh. The other part that makes me laugh is Brendan Lemieux Brendan Lemieux said that Brady Tkachuk punched his teeth so hard that that's what cut his hand, his left hand. That's what cut his left hand. And the league didn't buy it because they have video footage of him biting him. And they're like, Brendan, darling, this is an obvious lie.
Yeah.
But what you're thinking right now is, oh, no, if that's impossible, that his recollection of events, because Brady Tkachuk held up his hand and it was bloody with an obvious bite mark on it. Here's what you're missing. That hand that you saw that was going around Twitter and everything was his right hand. This dude bit him on both hands and the NHL, he bit him on both hands hard enough to draw blood. And I say, hey, you put me through bunkmates and I'm putting you through this. he bit him twice hard enough to draw blood, and the league only suspended him for the left hand because there was no video evidence of him biting the right hand. So, little lesson to all you prospective rats out there, do your dirty work quickly. Do it quickly so that the league can't catch you and you'll only be suspended for the stuff they saw. You caught him in a lie. You said he was lying on the video and you believed him because you couldn't find footage of the right hand. How else do you think he got a mouth-sized bite on his hand? God, this league is stupid.
Steve, had there been video, is he getting 10 games, 5 for each bite, or is there sort of like a volume discount where maybe he only gets 8 if there's a bite
left hand
both?
Not as worth it, like not as valuable as right hand, you know? That's no, only 3 games for left.
I was about to say, yeah, he'd only get 3 or 4 because you get bonus marks for efficiency. It's, you ever see the South Park thing where they have the Wheel of Fortune board and they cut off a chicken's head and they let it run around and whatever spot it lands on when it dies, that's the thing they pick? That's how the NHL suspends guys. Holy cow! It's you have to. I'm begging you on my hands and knees, you have to watch the video. It's so funny. It's so bad. It's confirmation, or it's a denial, I guess, of everything I thought of as a kid. Because when I was a kid, I was under the impression there were adults. And then you become one, and you realize, oh, we're all just giant children making it up. That ruling is children making it up. Mm-hmm. It's so bad.
Well, when you talk about things to watch, that's on the top of the list, followed by Steve Dangle and I this Saturday night watching a Leafs game on YouTube. Make sure you guys tune in and check it out. And we have lots of fun things in store, NHL chat room vibes, I hope.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I always try to achieve the standard that we set, Ailish.
Yeah, well, it'll be fun. And then on,
are you guys virtual or are you actually hanging out?
I think it's virtual.
Oh.
Virtual.
He lives in dirty Schwab. I'm not heading out there.
Oh, but no,
it's Schwallywood.
Schwallywood.
He's doing, listen, Dangle's part of the rebrand for that area.
That's right, actually. People are all moving out there because it's like dad friendly and it's cool.
We have coffee shops now.
Yeah. Hmm. It's not just Smoketown. No, there's more. We're more than Smoketown.
His entire house is sponsored content.
That's right.
From the city of Oshawa.
More smarter, not harder.
Yeah. Hey.
Steve, thanks so much for joining us today. Go Leafs go tonight, eh?
See you, buddy.
Woo!
Thanks. That Insider was brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com.
Ailish full of surprises today. By the way, I dangled
late
McDavid.
Dangle
The way, I'm going to be on with Dangle on Saturday. I'm not going to mention it when JD's trying to give me a compliment about my digital hosting.
Yeah.
You got to keep things close to the heart.
Yeah. What's coming in the 9:30 block? You're going to come through and you're challenging Big E for the WWE title soon. Yeah.
I might. What was that meat slapping thing?
No, we didn't need to go back there.
You don't want to hear about big meaty men slapping meat?
Mark from Oshawa texted in, Black Friday sale by the NHL, maybe 2-for-1 bites for suspensions.
So, two quick things. One, every once in a while, you delude yourself into thinking sports are covering the news. I do think they're important. I've said this many, many, many times. I think that sports are, in a weird way, people try to discredit the importance. And it's almost like people who cover them try to be cool by saying that they don't matter at all. And it's like, no, they matter. They really do. The game itself, game in, game out, not a big deal. But the overall products, the overall experience, the way that they connect us, all those, the way that they inspire us, there's a ton of sports that is unbelievably important. Never downplay it. But the leagues and, you know, the games, you get into those and you go, this is really important. And then all of a sudden there's a video of two grown men biting each other. And then another grown man has to come in and be like, and he did all the biting. And it's like a Tim Robinson sketch. And you're like, wait, this is real life here. This is our lives. We're talking about grown men getting in a pile, biting each other.
Biting each other.
And no, how much. Like, it didn't matter.
Yeah, no, it didn't matter at all. So it's like that. Just watching that video, watching the explanation, like the video that Steve just described.
How do you do it with a straight face?
That's what I mean.
Like, how many takes does it take you to not just like go on a rant of this is ridiculous? I can't believe this is my job.
Yeah. Hey, guys. What are you doing?
Why?
Like, hey, Lemieux.
Also, the general idea, I understand sometimes you have to explain these suspensions for like borderline stuff or the less obvious stuff. But the fact that someone goes to these people and is like, hey, we need a video breaking down why the biting is getting suspended.
I know. Like, you got to have it.
No, you don't.
No, you don't. Just say the games. Just say
he bit him.
Yeah. The forcible action line where it's like he bit him with force. I was like, Jesus.
Did he get fined as well or just suspended?
Well.
He'll lose his game check.
He should get like extra fine though.
I got to tell you, five games felt a little light.
Yeah, it totally did. Didn't Frank Saravelli say like maybe eight?
Yeah. And that always felt right to me.
So I made the point before that I think if you get suspended and there's not a way to do it in the schedule, but like. Another team benefiting from that suspension doesn't make a lot of sense to me because the team that is aggrieved doesn't get the reward for you missing those games. I think, this should be a winner's purse situation. You don't make weight. You get popped for a drug test after a fight. A chunk of your purse goes to the other guy.
Yeah. Then you got guys on minor league deals sticking their hands in guys' mouths.
Quick bite.
The issue there is that we know we're going to have a full video breakdown of whether you did. Well,
they're dipping their hands in like chocolate. Yeah, I like to see you not bite my hand.
All the max contract guys are just going to be out there just terrified of all the rats, the guys up on minor league deals.
We'll have the video breakdown. As you see his hand is only close to his mouth. And he's only threatening to bite him.
You know,
and
how
then the guy sticks his fingers in.
In Russia, they have to have dash cams because there's so many fakers who just like jump into cars and try to sue and try to blackmail people. This is what you'd have to have in the NHL is all the video footage from guys' visors.
Yeah, like little everyone. GoPros on their
little
helmets.
Little GoPros in every game, like that awful ref cam that we tried.
Joey Anderson gets called up for tonight. It's one game.
That's right.
And he's like, you know what?
I got to get somebody to
bite
me.
Money.
Enough of these dubious one practice day call-ups to get the AHL guys an NHL check for the day. Like, no. Yeah. Come up and get bit.
I got to get that ranting and bite, boys. I got to get that ranting and bite. Let me go. Let me get that bite.
Being bit would be so much, like someone spit on someone once, but like the fact that someone actually put their hand in your mouth and bit down. Like, think about how disgusting gloves are too. Like, my hockey gloves reek.
Yeah.
It's just like a bacteria infested hand that is coming into your mouth.
You're ripe.
A sweaty bacterial hand, especially with COVID going around. You can't be biting people.
I will say this. I'll get bit before I get spit on. No question.
Yeah, that's
I'll say
no
rude.
Question. No. Question.
I agree with that.
Okay, I thought you were saying
no.
The opposite.
No, definitely.
I'm saying getting spat on versus
that's
getting bit.
So awful.
If you get spat on, like you should be able to murder the other person, and like it's a self-defense thing. Like that's grounds. You show up at court and they go, "Your Honor, I have video of this guy spat on me. I know I murdered him in cold blood." But here's the video of the spitting. And then he goes, oh, case dismissed. Why didn't you just submit this online? We have a Dropbox for that, actually. If you don't even have to, you don't have to show up here. You just stay at home. Second thing. Is tonight a change your opinion game for either of you? As in, there's something that can happen tonight that will change your opinion about the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Not necessarily in tonight's game. You lose, whatever. If they spiral from there a little bit and it seems like the confidence has been shaken coming out of a loss or even just like, obviously you're not going to win 14 out of 16 the whole season. You're going to lose some games.
Why not?
Whether it's against a good team like Colorado or a follow-up or whatever. But yeah, I'm looking more like, hey, if you lose this game, how do you react and how do you come out of it? Is it a blip on, you know, an 18 and 21 stretch or is that kind of the conclusion of the 14 and 16 stretch? I mean, if they win, great, but they've already been beating just about everyone. So,
I don't know. I think that I'm a little bit more critical about this performance tonight. I think it is their first huge test back on home ice after a great road trip on the West Coast against some questionable teams. The narrative of these two teams coming in is one of them might win the cup. They're basically favored to be in the Stanley Cup Finals against each other. I think that this is the biggest game that they've played thus far this season because they had a great couple games, but they started weak and they've been on this roller coaster. And I think a little bit to your point, Blake, is if they lose this and then continue to lose, yeah, that's bad. But I think them coming in tonight, knowing that a lot of narratives around the last little while has been that they haven't played really, really tough teams, or can they sustain this? Is this just, you know, a fluky win streak? I think winning tonight solidifies that they're the real deal.
So I think I'm between the two of you. I always evaluate every game as not too much of anything unless it's accompanied with some other stuff. So I think that in that regard, Ailish, like, I'm with both of you guys, right? Where I go, well, they've been putting together a lot of really quality wins, but now if they do it against a quality opponent, I'm changing my opinion in the sense of I'm like actually a little bit more staunch about my belief that this is a good hockey team. Mm-hmm. If they have a real stinker of a game, I would put it as a bit of a one-off. But I actually think that this game being at home matters.
Big time.
This is a weird, during the course of an 82-game season, I think that being on the road, being at home, a lot of times those are overplayed. Tonight where you're in front of your own fans, tonight where you know Nazem Kadri's in the building, you know where McKinnon's coming back, where the other team's going to have a lot of juice, where they're going to want to show out against you because you're the Leafs and you're the top two teams. You don't think that Colorado knows it? I don't think McKinnon is one of those, like, I really care about it guys, but I think that his teammates care that he gets the hype.
I think Kadri's probably got money on the board.
For sure.
This will only be his second time back in Toronto.
That's what I'm saying. I think this game is going to be intense, and I think that you're in front of your home crowd, and you want to prove to them, those people that are in the seats, hey, we care about this too. Hey, we're invested in this too. We're not going to be a sleepy team that falls that gets a little lackadaisical at times in this thing. We're not going to start slow. We're not going to have our old bad habits show up in this game. I think it does matter a bit more. I'll be a little bit more critical of it. It's not going to really change my belief because everything still does come down to the playoffs.
Of course.
Even if the rational person looks at it as though you can't win it that way, which is right. Steve Dangle, the rational person, the rational guest, the voice of reason that we bring on to the show.
I used to be the Raptors reasonablest, and now he's the Leafs reasonablest. Yeah. It's a weird world we're living in.
Speaking of Kadri, you saw him at the Raptors game yesterday, courtside.
I did. I love how in Canada...
Maybe he's not focused on the game tonight, and he's going to be a little sleepy. Yeah. Had a couple brewskis.
So... We're the best in terms of who are celebrities here, right? Because I watch quite a bit of NBA.
It's Max, Simu, and Nasim Kadri.
Yeah, they're like, look at all these legends here last night.
That's Max, sorry. Max is Arkells.
Oh, I thought you said Simu's full name.
No, Simu Liu.
Yo, sorry.
Simu Liu gets a jersey. Max doesn't get nothing.
But yeah, that's it. Nasim Kadri. And in Toronto, you're like, wow, there's a lot of Pete.
It was celebrity
star
night.
Star power here tonight.
Even my brother was there.
Yeah.
This huge night.
Did he get you the jersey?
Oh, yeah. This is cute. My brother texted me last night, or he actually called me, which is rare. He said, hey, I'm going to the Raptors game tonight. I thought he was going to invite me because he goes, what are you doing tonight? I'm like, oh, I'm just watching the Raptors game from home on my couch. He goes, oh, yeah.
And I was like, stay there.
I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm going to the game. I'm like, oh, yeah. And then he goes, I was wondering if he wanted me to get you a Delano Banton jersey for Christmas. And I was like, oh, that's really sweet. He's like, I remember early on in the year you said, like, if Santa was listening to get you a Delano Banton jersey. And I was like, that's really sweet, but I don't know. Uh-uh. Maybe, like, there's a better use of, like, $200. Like,
so
it was really nice, though. So I said no, but maybe a Bing Bonga jersey.
As an older brother, I got to tell you that was not that great of a move by him.
What do you mean?
He was trying to get out of his holiday. Okay. I'm not trying to bury your brother here, but, and maybe I'm violating guy code a little bit, but it's really hard for us to shop for women. It is. For our dads and for our brothers, it's easy because you just get them stuff you want.
Boxers.
And yeah. No, but you do. You just get them
case
something you want. And that's easy because it's usually your brother, like, you're usually not buying big gifts for your friends, right? And I don't know, if you're that kind of guy, awesome. That's great that you got your group. But I don't really, the only times I buy gifts for my friends is if it's something.
Like their wedding or a baby or something?
Or if it's just so obvious that I need to get this for this person, where I go, oh, okay, I'm here, I'm doing something, I noticed this thing, I was online, or I just had to get them a gift. You know, it's actually more of a spur of the moment thing. But for your family, if you have brothers or male cousins or your dad or whatever, it's easy. Oh, wow, I think this is awesome. You're basically me, so here's the thing that I like. And they go, wow, awesome, I love this. It doesn't matter if it's your mom, your wife, your sibling, whatever, girlfriend. Getting gifts for women is hard. It is. It's hard. And we always do this where we try to do the feeler out of, hey, what could the gift be? The best part of receiving a gift is if it is a surprise. And I do think that there is something to just, you have to kind of take shots with gifts. And sometimes you strike out and sometimes you hit. And
that's what gift receipts are for.
Exactly. Is that your brother could have got you the Banton jersey and you could return it and it would be a nice gesture for him to show up and say he got it. But instead he's like, hey, sis, I was thinking about you. I was trying to get my Christmas shopping done. It would be really great if I could just go get you this Banton jersey as I'm on my way to a Raptors game tonight. And if you would just approve of this and hit the stamp on it, I would really like this off my plate. So no offense. What's your brother's name again?
Jordan.
I wanted to call him Dwayne because that just felt
Dwayne.
Right.
Yeah,
I don't know. I was like, no offense, Dwayne.
It's not Dwayne.
Dwayne. No. Meh.
Yeah. I could do more Christmas stuff, but.
You want to weigh in on that though? Come on.
No, I'm with you. I think of my mom.
Did I violate guy code?
No. It's fine to talk
Vic,
about
did
this.
Did I violate guy code? No.
Like my mom is probably listening and she's impossible to buy for because she's an adult woman with dual income and grown up kids. Yeah. So they can just buy whatever they want for themselves.
She get her Bowflex.
She has one. Just got a new leg press machine.
Yeah.
I got to see it and I'll say I tried it out. I didn't try it out. While I was home on the weekend.
Bench press you, eh?
I don't think so, because she's small. So I don't think so. And I don't think she can bench press what I weigh, which I will not
she
say.
She could definitely leg press you.
Yeah, absolutely.
No question.
Denise from Drumbo.
Anyways, so dudes out there, just shoot your shot with the gifts. Do the research, do the homework, try to feel it out, try to be a little sneakier is all I'm saying. We, as a gender, could do a little better around this time of year. Hey, this is a look yourself in the mirror game right now, okay?
It is December 1st.
If you're
time.
Offended listening to this, it's time to look yourself in the mirror and say to yourself, hey, am I being the best gift giver that I can be? Am I really doing my best if I'm asking other people if they would like this gift?
I mean, he's just texted me what he wants for Christmas. Like,
put a
send
little
me a
thought
link.
In it.
Well, that's even...
He sent me a link and I was like, okay.
Dwayne is brutal, eh?
Speaking of the wrong name things that we were talking about earlier, we just had a couple funny texts I wanted to hit quickly before break. Yeah. Hey, Simon from Newmarket. My neighbor's dog's name is Arrow, but when they yell at him, it sounds like Daryl. So we call him Daryl.
Yeah, I love that.
I also, I like just calling animals the wrong name all the time. Yeah. Like, because they don't know.
Yeah.
My Daryl. Custodians at work call each other Greg and Anita. They email each other. Their names are Craig and Nita. They aren't joking.
Anita, like that, even that's too close. That's actually one where it's excusable.
Okay.
You know, it is. Sure. It's too close. You're too close, man.
My name's Aaron, but I just answer to Eric Crowd. After 39 years, you just give up eventually.
I got to tell you, there's some names like that where I would have never guessed that happens to you, man.
Aaron.
Well, because Aaron, I don't hear that at all. And I don't have any friends named Aaron. Actually, I would have one friend named Aaron. I had to be very careful
with
that.
He's like, whoa, buddy.
No, I'm like, woof, that was close.
I don't have any friends I like.
No, I know, that was bad. That was really almost real bad. But no, I have a friend named Aaron, but I've never thought about Aaron or Eric. And I have friends named Eric, but I have multiple friends named Eric, but I all call them by their last name.
I have a lot of friends named Eric. Eric might be the most common name among my friends.
Mine's definitely Sarah.
Sarah, yeah.
Sarahs. You've got two in the same group chat. That's
two
just,
in the same group chat named Sarah, and it's confusion.
At least they're spelled
one has an H, one doesn't.
And a lot of around our age, Kayla, Kaylee, Kaylin, like a lot of Kale's names.
Kale.
Like, yeah, that's just very out there.
Yeah, you don't want to parlay two Sarahs together in the group chat. You probably don't want to throw the Raptors in your NBA night parlays right now either.
I'm done with the homers parlay.
Especially if there's a first quarter over-under that you talked yourself into.
I better get celebrated in the next block.
You're going to get celebrated, but also we got to talk about that over-under streak. And
I know, but I hit everything yesterday, except for that one thing.
Yes.
Everything that I said yesterday.
I mean, I gave multiple player props on the show that, that came through too.
You did.
Steven Adams out here grabbing offensive rebounds with one hand and a beer in the other hand.
Was?
Yeah, the Warriors did not come through.
Nope.
I did not see a 4-for-300 Steph Curry game coming.
Ailish doesn't know how this works, by the way.
Yeah.
I know. Let's take a break. Let's talk about this on the other side. It's the Fan Morning Show. Ailish Forfar, Blake Murphy. Let's all do it at the same time.
One, two, three. It's the Fan Morning Show.
On Sportsnet 590.
The Fan.
The Fan.
Definitely thought we were going to come back to Dylon.
Mm-hmm.
I rap and I rhyme. I rhyme and I rip. The Fan Morning Show. Sports at 590. The
I
Fan.
Rip and I rhyme.
You're too close.
Yeah, you're too close, man.
Yeah, that's J.D. Bunkus who's too close, man. He doesn't want to get burned by this hot fire.
Yeah.
That's Ailish Forfar. I'm Blake Murphy. What's going on? Hope you're all having a nice week.
The break.
I didn't get mad at you.
Does that sound like someone who doesn't get mad?
It's just overwhelming sometimes.
Oh,
that's the most you've ever sounded like me. I'm not mad.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not being defensive.
Yeah. You're getting ganged up on today a little bit. You showed up late. We bonded over some other stuff. You were on the outside today. Today you're the outsider. That's just the way it happened.
Head got too big off the McDavid stuff.
My name is Cindy, and I get Sydney all the time.
Crindy.
My son thinks Cindy Crosby is the best player in the NHL. Cindy.
That is kind of really cute at the
end
so part.
It's so cute. Come on. I'm just picturing him being a little boy. I hope he's not a grown boy.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, if her son's like 17, that's just weird.
No, yeah, totally. Like, that has a limit.
Yeah.
Sydney.
It's just like how I feel when people call him Sid the kid. Like, it's just like, he's like a grown man now. Yeah. Stop calling him that.
No, if he does that, if he's coming home for Christmas or the holidays.
He's not a kid anymore.
And he's like, hey, it's Cindy Crosby. And the family goes, oh, nah. Don't invite me over. I don't want to show up there. So it's time for us to break down some of our bets. Yesterday, only one of us hit his best bet. It was a parlay. One of us, Ailish almost doesn't even count, though, because she tried to make like this plus 400 parlay.
How I'm going to do it all the time, though.
I know, but then we can't keep stats. Because
whatever. When I hit and I'll be rich.
Yes. But you...
One of them will hit and then I'll come in here, guns blazing. I'll be throwing coffee at everyone.
Yeah, but then the next day your record
seems
will
unnecessary.
Still... throwing coffees.
Yeah, just making it rain coffee.
No, you're definitely not the bad guy today. All mad and throwing coffees at people, making threats.
But I did hit on a different bet.
Yeah. So yesterday I liked a parlay of Pistons, Lakers, and even with LeBron out, the Kings are just a joke. It's just such a joke.
I did the kind of cheapy. So I had Lakers -4
mm-hmm.
and then the LeBron news came out and I pulled it in time and then it went to -1 and I was like, you know what? Still like it.
So
got it -1 and said, obviously they cleared it. No problem. But
yeah,
the juggling was, I felt good.
Our entire show thought that the Grizzlies, when they opened at +5.5 was way too high.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were listening, you would have jumped on that because I think by tip off, it was 3.5.
3.5 or 4, yeah.
So you ended up getting 2 points shaved. I actually bet the Grizzlies two different ways. I had them on the money line and I had them in on the spread in a parlay. But I would just say quickly that one of my favorite gambling rules to look for or my favorite things to gamble on is to pay attention to NBA lines where it's a good team versus a just completely incompetent team and there's a short line because they're missing one player or they're on a back-to-back or something along those lines where you end up getting what I think is a little bit too much value. For whatever reason, like I know teams aren't as strong on back-to-backs in the NBA, but it is a way overstated thing from a gambling perspective. And it's also really important to remember that a lot of these lines, it's not mathematic, it's public confidence and what the public thinks about these things. And so that's why I've been betting Cavaliers games a lot. And to be honest, I think the team that's made me the most money this year by far has been the Cavaliers because you still see Cavs when you open up your betting site and you go, oh, the Cavs stink. Why would I bet the Cavs? And then actually they're good, and they're like not a tire fire anymore. They've turned it around very, very quickly. They added some pieces that were more than just Evan Mobley, and they've had some guys take a step, and you forget that someone like Ricky Rubio showing up with your franchise is actually really important because he not only makes other people around him better, but he plays defense.
And he's just a joyful dude.
He's great. I love Ricky
Elite
Rubio.
Vibes guy.
Yeah, so
On the back-to-back. The biggest hurdle for me with the back-to-back is not how you value that back-to-back. Mm-hmm. It's that you get really late injury reports.
Yeah, I know.
Because you don't have to report it nearly as early. Mm-hmm. And we're in a season right now where, like, Jokic sat out 3 games in a row where he was questionable. OG's been questionable mm-hmm. for, like, almost 2 weeks now. It's, like, those are, obviously, OG's a starter caliber guy. That's worth a little something. Mm-hmm. But Jokic is, like, that's the difference between being confident and a no bet on a game.
Can I be honest, though? I kind of look at it as when we say some of these things, it's tough because it's early in the morning, so some stuff can happen.
Right. You assume, hey, Jokic is in if we're talking about a Nuggets line.
No, but I assume that, you know, if you're putting money on things, right, think about the research that you do when you're buying a new T-shirt. I don't know. I would assume that you look at a couple of sites, or you look at the site that you buy the stuff from, you price it out, whether it's a sale. I don't know. Maybe this is
maybe
me.
Maybe like a new car. Let's use that instead.
That's you, a new car? That's where you start to do a little research? I research everything. I always want to know the best version of something, or
okay,
I don't
like
know.
Like an electronic.
Wire cutter,
like a new phone.
Has to be in the bookmarks.
No, yeah. I'm just, okay, if I'm buying any type of new electronic device, I'm searching it, right? So for example, I bought somebody. I hate how I have to say this here, but I bought someone a present that was electronics for Christmas, and I did quite a bit of research making sure that I was getting bang for my buck. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's more than I was betting on a single basketball game, but I just think it's a responsible thing to do that if you're betting on sports, that you just look at the injury reports. The one that always gets me with football is weather, but usually you put too much thought into weather than it actually has an application in the sport. So it doesn't really end up burning you that often, unless it's like, oh my God, it's a blizzard and they can't move the football.
The tough part here, though, for the basketball stuff and the injury reporting timeline is, like, generally if you consider yourself on the sharper side, you mm-hmm. want to at least get a look at the morning lines mm-hmm. because like
COVID
we said,
is a tough one, though, because that one just springs up on you like LeBron last
night. Last second, he's on his way to the stadium. He's like, oh, you have COVID.
Exactly. So I had LeBron yesterday, and I bet that earlier because I had already looked at the Lakers injury report. I already seen mm-hmm. what they had at practice. I already knew that the team was healthy. And then all of a sudden it's COVID protocol and you go, boy, I actually thought it would be really nice if some, gambling services had almost like a COVID clause, because it is so random and BS when you get hit with some of the stuff. Like, imagine betting a football game and having Aaron Rodgers enter COVID protocol like immediately before a football game. You're like, well, now this line is going to swing like 7-8 points and I'm still on the hook for it. That seems like a tough one. I know it's
tough because you get maybe a better line. You know, if we jump on right now and look at the NBA lines or the NHL lines, mm-hmm. you maybe get a better line right now, but you get that, like, you pay for the certainty of waiting until later in the day. And on the hockey side, the big one's obviously which goalie's starting. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, a 2 to 3% swing and edge potentially. Just one more thing on your betting the favorites. Favorites are clearing over 52% against the spread in the NBA so far this season. Mm-hmm. I don't have the breakdown in front of me, but I know at least as of a week and a half ago, short favorites were covering at a particularly high rate. Mm-hmm. So to your point about don't overthink something like Lakers versus Kings, or tonight Clippers versus Kings mm-hmm. with what I think is a 7.5-point line.
Even that, though, 7.5 points for the Clips. I'm going to
Kings on a back-to-back. It's the L.A. back-to-back, but it's still L.A. and a back-to-back.
I'm 1,000,000,000% throwing the Clippers in parlays tonight on the money line. That's what I'm saying. It's like those things to me are you just grab them, and if you miss, it's whatever. But at -7.5, I'm guessing that's like a -400 money line, -375 money line, something around there. I like that type of value for parlays. Yeah, see, I love that. I love that value for a parlay. Okay, so
Leafs.
Well, what do you guys think about this as naming a segment for gambling on Leafs games when they happen? Leafs lines.
Love it.
Sure.
People might
think we're talking about, you know, hey, where's Joey Anderson drawn in here? But
yeah, but it's during the gambling segment.
I know.
Leafs lines.
Yes.
Brought to you by the Fan Morning Show.
Another
where you gamble and you call in the show and you listen and you bet all your money on what we do.
Another small challenge for the 850 locking in your bets, mm-hmm. player props aren't up for tonight yet. And I think that's a fun one.
I
know you love the...
I'm a huge player props person.
I know you love the ex-Leaf returning to Toronto bet. So we don't know where that's at yet. The Leafs are a minus 130 favorite. You can get Avalanche at plus 110 mm-hmm. If you think. And then if you want to go Leafs in regulation, you get that at plus 120.
So...
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Leafs minus 130 or Avalanche plus 110 on the money line. For regulation, you can get the Avs plus 175, the Leafs plus 124. Is this either of these pass or plays for you, either of you?
Leafs in regulation.
So plus 124?
Yep.
Not enough juice for me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. Not enough.
I value-wise, Avalanche are a parlay piece to me. I like... There's some value on Seattle as well.
So you're playing a parlay with the Avalanche in regulation or the Avalanche? Because I'll be honest, usually I look for regulation value. I don't really see the jump from money line to regulation.
Yeah.
That values that. But I will tell you this. I actually kind of like the draw.
There you go.
Plus 330. I plus 330 right now on Coolbet for the draw in this game. And... The total, if you look at it, this is just how my dumb brain works sometimes, honest to God. This is not even, I'm not about to provide you with any statistics or anything that you should actually know. I'm going to provide you with this. The total tonight is 6. Mm. And I looked at that and thought, tonight is a total stay away from the total game because I think it could be 3-3. This just reeks of 3-3 to me. They go to overtime, they play the extra frame, and you hit on that plus 330.
So last night before bed, I was like, maybe I'll toss some late night bets up. So when I wake up.
Oh, that's bad. That means you were losing or you winning too much and then you threw your winnings. You got too excited.
I lost the Homer's parlay last night big time.
See, I made too much money last night.
I did the Homer's parlay with Bing Bong and Bing Bonga.
Yeah, you
did. That's what I mean by that. But so last night.
Oh, you were so close with Knicks though. And I was going to tell you, like, how upset were you going to be?
If that Raptors pulled it and then Knicks.
That's what I mean.
If
the Knicks has 7.5-point dogs.
I
also told everybody to bet the Knicks with you yesterday, though, on the spread. I said that spread was way too big.
Anyway, so last night before bed, I was like, let me just see who's playing tonight. And on a whim, I bet Ducks, Kings to go to a shootout. Plus 1,000. Boom, bing bong.
And bing bong!
Then I also bet Ducks money line, which was plus 110.
Yeah.
And... Mama was happy when she woke up in the morning.
Bing, yeah. Bong.
Bing bong. Bing bong.
So, okay. I love this.
Just such a random thing. I'm like, I need to bet something before I go to bed.
Yeah.
And boom. For some reason, I thought they'd go to a shootout. I don't know why, but it happened. So, boom.
So, we always advocate against chase betting. Unless you win,
I did that
then it's fine. And she did that. That's fine. I did the opposite last night where... I made money on the NBA, and so I ended up putting together a soccer parlay, which is blind for me, where I go, I don't know anything about this, but hey, Chelsea better not lose to Watford or whatever, and Real Madrid better not lose to, I want to say, Bilboa or something like that, and I was like, yeah, I'll put those two together. Let's go.
Do you ever get to the point where you're betting horse racing in, like, Dubai? Because I've gotten that to that point before.
I'll tell you this.
And I just go strictly by the names.
I've bet on everything, including... sports where I've had to Google if it was real because I thought there was a slight chance that the gambling companies were like, maybe this was just a test where they were like, yeah, you deserve to lose. You think that Divisions 2 Australian women's soccer that's happening at 3 a.m. is a real thing, you idiot? No. We just put Melbourne and you thought it was legit and now you have no money. So quickly, because we didn't provide anything. It looks like it looks like in terms of value, we all like the Avs more than the Leafs, but that nobody really sees a ton here. I think it's a pass on the totals tonight. I don't really have a feel of which way this is going to go. I will say that if I did lean anyway, it would just be unders because that's what the Leafs do. And they're playing in a tight checking hockey game mm-hmm. where it's going to be playoff style. McKinnon's just coming back. Maybe there's a little bit of an adjustment. I would say I'm leaning under, but it's one where I'm staying away because there's too much firepower of both these offenses that you could look really silly. I think the draw is an interesting play at plus 330. But you were going to say that you like the Kraken tonight on Red Wings on a back-to-back Kraken.
Yeah,
I think also
and
on a back-to-back
I had Red Wings last night.
Yeah, so did I against Bruins.
Yeah,
thanks
to
Bourne.
It's not a huge edge, but mm-hmm. a little bit of one there. I think it's more of a parlay piece to just try and escalate that Avs value.
What a disgusting game between the Canucks and the Senators.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's one where they're both so bad, maybe you just... take the Sens because they're a home dog.
I got to do more of, here's what I'll tell you I'm definitely staying away from tonight is the Thunder Rockets game, Blake. I definitely like the Clippers as a parlay piece.
Oh, I'm chasing Thunder Rockets. After they did us dirty last time. That's not happening twice.
Yeah. I also like, I got to look at what the injury statuses are here with Mavericks, Pelicans, but I also like the Mavericks -3 at New Orleans. Yeah. I love
Porzingis is questionable, but yeah. I think that's it.
But I like betting against the Pelicans. That usually works out more times than it doesn't. I also think that I need to look into deeper as to why the Hornets and the Cavs are laying so many getting so many points against the Bucks and the Heat. I know those are good teams, but that also looks like a public play to me where people know the Heat, they know the Bucks. Those lines look a little inflated on my end. We got to go.
Road dogs with short lines are a little risky this year, but 76ers money line against the Celtics is, I don't know. I'm not, especially if Jaylen Brown doesn't play. It's while we were talking, the Kevin Gausman deal is now official via the Toronto Blue Jays. He'll be doing an introductory Zoom call today at 3 p.m. As a reminder, we got Blair and Barker from 10 to 12 this week, and we're going to talk a little bit more about your Toronto Blue Jays with your boy Ben Ennis. JD.
Can't wait.
40-year-old Ben.
45.
Almost.
44.
Turning 45 this year. Yeah.
All right. That's next on the Fan Morning Show. Sports at 590 The Fan.